there are three interesting svarim taken from Parshas Chayesara, and I'll provide or present the svarim in chronological order. Avram is involved in purchasing the land, and in fact, the process of him purchasing the land serves as the paradigm for Kiddushin and for Kinyanim, and he uses the word kach, nasati kesav hasadeh kach mimeni. Avram turns to Ephron, I've given you the money, I paid you the money, nasati kesav hasadeh, kach mimeni, take the money, perform a kinyan. So this is the first agreed kinyan in the Torah, the first agreed transaction between two people. It serves as the paradigm for Kiddushin, beginning of Maseches Kiddushin. And we'll talk a little bit about Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon was the last Gaon. He was, of course, the leading Gaon of his generation. He lives right at what we typically assume to be the transition between the period of the Gaonim and the period of the Rishonim. In fact, at that point, Babel was starting to fade as the center of the Jewish Torah world and the Jewish world. People were migrating to Europe. Spain was on the rise. North Africa, many other Asian areas were not really Asian, but Byzantine areas, Persia certainly. And because of his luminous character, he was called, put it this way, when you have someone who's called the Gaon, like we'll call the Vilna Gaon, the Gaon, so if Haigon was simply called the Gaon, like we refer to certain people as the Rav or the Rosh Yeshiva. So it indicates how much of a sway he had on his period. His father was Rav Shrira Gaon. Rav Shrira Gaon wrote a very famous letter called the Igeres of Rav Shrira Gaon, which outlines the Masara, how our Masara unfolded, its various methods of transmission, who taught whom, who was whom's Rebbe, who was whom's Talmud, who was whose Talmud. So Rav Shrira Gaon lived to be 100, Rav Haigon lived to be 99, and these are very, very uncommon ages for a period before advanced modern medical science. So Rav Shrira Gaon was the Rosh Yeshiva in Pumbedisa, and Rav Hai is born in 939. Rav Shrira Gaon is the Rosh Yeshiva in Pumbedisa. This is the end of the storied history of the Pumbedisa Yeshiva, the end of the storied history of Babel as the center of Torah, right after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. At a certain point, Rav Haigon grew up in the yeshiva, and he helped his father, Kim Zerosh, based in the yeshiva. At some point, they're both ratted out. They're both accused by other Jews who were involved in trying to sabotage Rav Haim and Rav Shira. They were ratted out to the local Arab, Muslim, caliph, and at that point, they were thrown in jail. And of course, the ruse was, and it's a fascinating, because it comes up later on in the 18th century with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, with the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, they were supporting the enemy. They were guilty of treason. Why? Because they had talmidim in the great yeshiva of Pumbedisa from all over the world, including North Africa, Persia, Spain, Byzantine. These were all lands and countries that were at odds with the Arab hosts of Pumbedisa, whatever the countries were called, whatever the tribes were called. And because of that, because they were accepting Talmidim, Tim Pumbedisa Yeshiva, from these foes, these enemies of the state, so they were accused of treason. And Rav Shrira Gaon, after 8 years in jail, dies. And at some point, presumably when Rav Shrira is in jail, because Rav Haigon is released earlier, and his father dies in jail, Rav Shrira, so Rav Haigon is released, and probably at that point he takes over being the Rosh Yeshiva. He becomes the Rosh Yeshiva in 1006. And the Shabbos of all Shabbosos, the Shabbos in which he becomes Rosh Yeshiva, is Shabbos Parshas Pinchas, in which we read about the intended succession of Yehoshua. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asked by Moshe Rabbeinu that you should appoint a successor, Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. So there's a very, very appropriate Shabbos to appoint the successor of the great last leading Gaon personality. And in fact, the Haftarah of Parshas Pinchas is about not the succession of Moshe, or Yeshua of Moshe, but the succession of Shlomo from David. And the pasuk reads, Ushlomo Yashav Al Kisei David Aviv. And supposedly in Pumbedisa, that Shabbos, when Rav Haigon succeeded. Rav Shrira Gaon, they read that Hai was Yoshev al Kisei Shrira. So since there was Haftarah, the Haftarah was just a minhag. So the Haftarah, they felt themselves empowered to change Haftarah to fit the experience. Another interesting part of Rav Hai's career, first of all, we have records of him making Aliyah L'Ragel during Sukkot. So even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, he travels from Pumbedisa and he makes the journey on Sukkot, and there's some form of Aliyah L'Ragel. He visits Haaretz Zeitim. So they're still very deeply connected to the land of Israel and the rituals of Yom Tov surrounding Israel, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash and hasn't been one for 1,000 years. He's also a philosopher, and he debates religion, at least on one occasion, and at least the reports we have is that all the Arab philosophers are overwhelmed in his presence because of his intellect, because of his ability to, in many ways, defeat them or embarrass them. And so this is Rav Hai Gaon, and his Talmidim are essentially the first wave of Rishonim, probably the Talmud who most people are familiar with is Rabbeinu Hananel ben Chushiel, otherwise known as the Rach, Rabbeinu Yaakov Bar Nissim, which is Rabbeinu not the Ran, but Rabbeinu Rav Yaakov Bar Nissim and his son Rav Nissim Bar Yaakov. So these were many of the early Rishonim, but again, primarily Rabbeinu Hananel is the one that most of us are familiar with, and he was. Some of the others you may have heard of, Rav Meshulam Ber Kolunimus, the first generation of Rishonim. He's basically their Rebbe. And in terms of his farm, and this is why I'm mentioning the Sefer here, he writes a lot of topical Sfarim, which is interesting. And he's really the Gaon whose Sfarim we have the most of. Most of the Gaonim worked on amending the editions of Shas, working out the proper Girsos. We don't have many of their works, but for Rav Hai Gaon, we have Mishpatei Shavuos, which is an entire section detailing the laws of Shavuos. We have Sefer HaMekach VeHaMemkar, which is the tie-in to Parshas Chayisara. Entire Sefer detailing how to operate Kinyanim, and how to acquire land, and how to acquire Metaltalim, and how to acquire debts. And it's really become a staple or a template for Rishonim and others who wanted to start elaborating on the world of Kinyanim. We have a Sefer called Mishpatei HaTanayim, which articulates the laws of Tanayim, Mishpatei Halvos, the laws of loans. Again, not just the dry laws, but the concepts we call the lamdas, the analysis. So there's a lot of svarim on topics. And again, the ones that are probably most familiar to people that are in the yeshiva world are the Sefer HaMekach VeHaMemkar L'Rav Hai Gaon, the Mishpatei Shavuos L'Rav Hai Gaon, and the Mishpatei Tanayim L'Rav Hai Gaon. Anyone that's learned in yeshiva has heard these svarim quoted, and of course Rav Hai Gaon, because he came from the Sephardic tradition, he was also a Paitan, he was a poet. But this is Rav Hai Gaon, Sefer HaMekach VeHaMemkar. Now it's the 16th century, and there's a Gadol in Europe, and he's working on a Sefer, a monumental Sefer, on the Torah. And this is a monumental Sefer to elaborate some of the areas that have yet to be developed, and the Torah's Rabbi Yaakov, of course, the son of the Rosh, and there's some aspects of the Rosh that aren't included in the Torah. And then he hears the Ramah, the Rabbi Yosef Cairo, in Sfat, is writing a similar Sefer, but more ambitious and more comprehensive, called the Beis Yosef. So because of this, the Ramah changes his plans. He abbreviates and truncates the Sefer, and he writes a smaller Sefer called Darche Moshe. Now, Darche Moshe, the reason I'm talking about in Parshas Chayisara, is because this is a parsha of travel, of derech, and derech is a double entendre, and derech doesn't just mean the road that Eliezer takes to Aram Naharaim, but the path he takes to try to secure a wife for Yitzchak. And Eliezer is very, well, this Eved Avram is quite aware of his derech. He constantly says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please be matzliach darki, please hatzliach Hashem darko imlo. So that phrase appears 4 or 5 times in the story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he repeats it to Lavan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matzliach Darki. So the Ramah's Sefer, we think of the Ramah, we call it the Ramah, the emendations of the Ramah. The original Sefer the Ramah wrote was meant to be structurally similar to the Beis Yosef, a very comprehensive, basic, seminal work. But when he heard that the Beis Yosef was writing his Sefer, He abbreviates his own sefer, he significantly shortens it, and he calls it Darchei Moshe, and he just adds areas that the Beis Yosef omitted. And then he decides that he's going to write just a short sefer of Piskei Halachas and call that sefer Darchei Moshe. But then he finds out that this person of Yosef Cairo, who had preempted him with the Beis Yosef, had also preempted him with the Shulchan Aruch. And so the Rama decides he's just going to write Haggos. So essentially, the Rama becomes a hero in what he suppresses, not in what he produces. Had he written his own voluminous encyclopedic sefer to rival the Beis Yosef, he would have perpetuated the split between Ashkenazic and Sephardic Halacha. By shutting down or by shrinking twice his sefer, the first time he shrinks his sefer into a Darchei Moshe, second time he shrinks it into just Haggos, or some people call it the Mappa, which is the tablecloth, is what he called it for the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch was of Yosef Cairo sefer. He wrote a tablecloth just to adjust it. So he's able to unify Ashkenazic and Sephardic Halacha by not what he publishes, what he doesn't publish. What's interesting about the Sefer Darchei Moshe, I don't want to discuss the Rama per se, because there's a lot to talk about. What's interesting about the Sefer Darchei Moshe is not only was the Sefer shrunk and altered from its original by an executive decision on the part of the author, but when the Sefer was published, so typically it was published on the Torah, it was written on the Torah. And they decided at a certain point, this goes back probably around 320 years, when they printed the Darchei Moshe on the bottom of the Torah, they decided it's too big a sefer to put on the bottom of the Torah. It's already the Torah, the Beis Yosef. So they omitted, or they started to shrink the actual Darchei Moshe, and they only printed the parts that Beis Yosef didn't print, or when he doesn't quote the Beis Yosef, any things that were new and different, and that really made the Ramah's sefer, at least the one that's printed on the Torah, really hard to read. It's in its original form, and there's omissions, and it's non-sequenced. So a lot of people, sadly, don't really, myself included, don't read the Darchei Moshe. It's not an easy sefer to read. You'll read a piece here or there, but the publishers made a publisher's or editor's decision to significantly deplete the Darchei Moshe and only print the aspects that are not already in the Beis Yosef. And recently, they've printed what's called a Darchei Moshe HaShalem. And at that point, if you have the Darchei Moshe HaShalem, the original Sefer the Ramah, it's easier to read, and it's a much more enriching experience. So it's interesting to see 400 years apart, a Sefer that we would say never really got off the blocks. And in this case, there's a heroic decision on the part of the author, Rav Moshe Isserlein, Rav Moshe the Ramah, V'Yisrael Yotze B'Yad Ramah, the great Rav Moshe Isserlein of Krakow. There's a decision to withhold the Sefer in order to unify rather than divide the Jewish people. The third Sefer that I wanted to talk about, it's not really a Sefer as much as I want to talk about a person, a fascinating person, related to Parshas Chayisara, is the Mechaber of the Minchas, Eliezer. Eliezer is Eved Avram. He's the star, the celebrity of Parshas Chayisara. So who is the Minchas Eliezer? Very famous and colorful figure. This is the third Munkacher Rav named Reb Elazar Shapiro. He's born in 1871, dies in 1937. He's one of the most colorful and controversial in many ways Rabbanim in the Eastern European theater. He's in Hungary. Munkacs is originally Hungary, then it becomes a part of Czechoslovakia. And I would say he probably is known for three aspects. He's the third Munkacs Hasidic Rebbe, so it's part of that great heyday of Hasidus in Hungary, in between the wars in particular. He was a vociferous opponent, not just of Zionists and Zionism, but of the Agudas Yisrael, which was the dominant anti-Zionist, we would call it Haredi. Haredi as a term and as a concept doesn't really exist before the wars, but certainly those who were opposed to the State of Israel, they formed an organization called the Aguda, and he was opposed even to the Aguda. He saw this organization as getting too close to being involved politically with other Jews and with Israel, and he was very, very acerbic even. He would quote, for example, call the Balfour Declaration, he would call it the Baal Peor Declaration. Baal Peor is a play on words, Balfour. Baal Peor is one of the Avodah Zarah, one of the most famous or infamous Avodah Zarah. When the Nevi Yirmiyah says, Hay kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim, anyone who's thirsty should come to drink, and Chazal interpret this as coming to drink Torah, he saw the word tzamei as an acronym for Tzionim, Mizrachim, and Agudistim, people who belong to the Zionist camp, to the Mizrachi camp, and to the Aguda camp. So he was a very, very, I could call him argumentative personality. And the second issue is there are tremendous, tremendous frictions that break out within different Hasidic camps, in particular between the Munkachers and the Gerer and the Spinker, especially since the Gerer and the Spinker Rebbe moved to Hungary in 1922, where the Munkacher was operating, and it was very violent. It was very, very it was very adversarial. It was very hostile, and it wasn't an easy situation. The great tensions between the Gerer and the Spinker Hasidim and the Munkacher Hasidim, fueled in part by the opposition of the Munkacher Rebbe. Again, I'm just highlighting some of the aspects. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, one of the leading lights of his generation. But these were some of the, as we would call them, the extracurricular aspects that he was involved in. And finally, and interestingly enough, he was very politically active in rallying. Today we think about, especially in the United States of America, the Hasidim vote in blocks, or certainly in Israel, the Hasidim vote in blocks, and that's why they carry so much political clout, because you can go to one person, and that Rebbe, if you win his support, can deliver X amount of votes immediately, automatically. So that's why Hasidim carry so much political energy and political influence. This starts in many respects with the Munkacher. In the 20s, he's very involved in forming associate parties of Hasidim to vote in various Hungarian, internal Hungarian elections, and to support non-Jewish parties in exchange for particular platforms and particular specific interests of the Hasidim being fulfilled by those parties. So there's a lot of maneuvering in the elections in 1925, elections in 1928, and there are pictures of him meeting the various political dignitaries of the Hungarian parliament, of the Hungarian noblemen, and establishment. So I think he's really one of the first to appreciate the ability to mobilize large blocks of votes within the Hasidic world in modern democracies, and to try to employ these blocks of voters, try to access particular agendas that were important. So it's very interesting. Today, we take it as a given that Hasidim in particular are aware of the ability to engineer political influence. And this is something which I think starts with the Munkacher. So this is the Minchas Eliezer. Again, this is not his only sefer. He writes multiple svarim, but the Minchas Eliezer is probably the sefer most people are aware of the Munkacher, the sefer of Sheol Svetruvos. And these are three svarim that have tie-ins to Parshas Chayisara. The Sefer HaMekach VeHaMemkar of Rav Haigon, the Sefer Darchei Moshe, or Moshe Israelis, the Ramah, and the Sefer Minchas Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer Shapiro, the third Munkacher Rebbe.